Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonniebell, who is joining us live on the phone from the world headquarters of the Greater Glendale Chamber. God, I can't remember. Glendale Curry Creek Chronicle. Hey, Chuck, I'll get it out there. How are you?
All right.
So we have with us today, as we teased earlier, Sue Moore, who runs the outstanding, is one of many people involved in it, but the outstanding Liberty Scorecard. And I mean, we always talk to Sue to get updates on the legislature and the rankings of the legislators. But an extraordinary thing happened the other day on a different radio station. Right, we call her the Rhino Queen, Sue. I know you don't, but Rhino Queen Senator Barb Kirkmeyer went on the show, and Jeff was asking her, well, you know, the Liberty Scorecard gives you an F rating. And she was like, Liberty Scorecard? I have no idea who they are. And we'll play that bite in a sound bite. But Sue wanted to get, and you did a great job. Sue immediately called in to the radio station and set the record straight. But I wanted to give you a chance to come to set the record straight again today. So what did you think when you heard Barb Kirkmeyer profess having no clue who you were? And I think she libeled you.
But did know who was on your, but did know wrongly who was on your board, claiming, you know, the former libertarian head of the board was on your show, on your board, but he wasn't. So I mean, it's a brilliant all around. And Barb has such a, you know, a pleasant, fun demeanor on radio or even television and so forth, but she has a reputation of being, when the camera's off or the thing's off, of being a highly unpleasant person. And boy, the mask slipped. It was amazing to watch her go after you, Liberty Scorecard. You're a bunch of consultants who make a fortune doing this.
Highly paid.
As you can see, your palatial studio there, and what else to do? You didn't read the bills. You didn't even know what they're talking about. And then you didn't even recognize the fact that she has to sign on to certain bills because of the obligations. And I forgot what her other excuses were, the safety clause. She was like six for six for false, malicious, and untrue statements. You must have been impressed with her ability to get it wrong.
Yeah, you know, and I don't take it personally. I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing the scorecard for 8 years now, and not much bothers me. But when you start to tell lies about who we are and what we do, and, you know, imply that we have ulterior motives and make a lot of money doing this, I just, you know, it just really kind of chapped my hide. So, well, I was lucky. I wasn't listening to the show, but somebody alerted me to what she was saying, and I got to see the recording, and then I just got angry and decided I needed to call in. And I was lucky that I got to call in before the end of the show, because she totally misrepresented who we are, what we do. And, you know, if anything else, it just proves that she doesn't understand the difference between principles and issues. You know, we're a principles-based scorecard. We look at every bill through the lens of, does it violate individual rights, limited property rights, limited government, fiscal responsibility, things like that. And she, you know, claims that we don't understand that, you know, she's really strong on certain issues like law enforcement and education and all these. Those are issues. We are a principles-based organization. You know, issues change, principles do not. So if you don't understand the difference between those two things, then you might want to reconsider your vocational choices. But
and then Billy liked to chime in and said, well, why are you entering into this gubernatorial race and giving Scott Bottoms an A? Why a beautiful Barb Kirkmeyer's and Ev, and you kind of and you beautifully answered. Kind of we don't enter into the governor's race at all. We're just saying how she does on the legislative record, and she's an F.
Yeah, and it's all computed. I don't think he even understood that.
No,
you know, we read the bills. We rate the bills. We don't rate the legislators. So we're looking at the bills. We're looking at it through our liberty lens. We're coming up with a support or oppose position. And then when they cast their votes, if they agree with us, they get a point. If they don't agree with us, they get a point subtracted. So it's really a computational thing that happens once they've cast those votes. We don't, you know, we don't assign A's. We don't assign B's. We rate the legislation on the face, and then it gets computed.
And let me play that. I pulled a little bit of the soundbite of Barb Kirkmeyer, because you have to hear just blatant lies. So, Doug, if we could please play the Kirkmeyer soundbite.
So I'm carrying the bill, and yes, I'm going to vote for it. And so I'm going to get, you know, a bad score because somebody who I don't even know who does the Liberty Scorecard. I mean, I'm not sure if you do.
No, I don't.
Well, there you go. So should I be listening to the people that voted me in, that live in my district? Should I be following what my core conservative values are? Or should I be following a scorecard that I have no clue who's doing it? I'm pretty sure they don't read all the bills all the way through, that they don't follow through the different votes that are taken in each of the different committees, the different amendments. They make a call at the very beginning, I think. I'm not even sure what their full process is. I know at one point a libertarian was on their board, from my understanding, so I've been told, and now that person is a Democrat. So, really? So I'm supposed to be going
like
to...
Like Hannah Goodman? Was
yes,
that who that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, that's what I've been told. I don't know for certain on that, but that's what I've been told. But again, people don't even know who that is. So why would I take someone's word who I don't even know who it is? For all I know, they could be operating out of their basement and making stuff up. I don't know. Okay. And then here's the thing with regard, I know one of their biggest things on the Liberty Scorecard is that whether there's a petition clause or a safety clause on the bill. And for the most part, I agree that there should be the petition clause on the bills, except for the budget and all the bills dealing with the budget. Because again, constitutionally, we're mandated to have a balanced budget. It's the one thing that we have to do as a legislative body is pass a balanced budget every year. We pass that budget, we could quit. We could be done. We don't have to, you know, as Senator Bob Gardner used to
that
say,
would be good.
We could be done today. And I'm thinking, yes, we could be.
Okay, and Doug, we can kind of ramp here if we want to go ahead and shut her off. Let's just take those in order.
Okay.
So she has no idea who you are. You guys communicate. Number one, she does know who you are. And if Jeff doesn't know who you are, then he has no business doing his job either. You guys have been around forever. But you guys send out emails. Barb Kirkmeyer knows who you are and how to get hold of you, right?
Absolutely. I send them out every Sunday afternoon, right after our Zoom call, or Monday morning. And she, you know, we send it by MailChimp. I can see who's opening those emails. And, you know, I can't say that it's not one of her aides, but over the last 8 years, you can't tell me that she's never looked at one of those emails herself. You know, and I, you know, again, I don't want to get into a, you know, a pissing contest with Senator Kirkmeyer. It doesn't matter.
Do.
It's not personal.
We do. We want
I know you do, Chuck. You always want to. But,
not always.
But when you start to say things like that, I have to respond. It makes me angry, and it makes me angry for the team of people that work on this scorecard. We don't get paid a dime. We have to, you know, we're raising money all the time just to cover our expenses. There's not much there. You know, we keep it to a minimum. But, you know, most of these people that work on this, they do other things. They wear other hats. They work in their county parties. They knock doors for candidates in their counties. You know, they're doing a lot of stuff for the Republican Party. And, you know, to libel them, is that the right word? Slander, whatever, just makes me really angry.
It's libel because it was published. Well, what about the point where she's like, because I think this is just a flat out lie, that there is a libertarian on the board.
I don't even know Hannah Goodman. I've never met Hannah Goodman. I've never talked to Hannah Goodman. She has never worked on the scorecard, period.
And the scorecard website, this is all very transparent, right? People just can go libertyscorecard.com and boom, everything. You're up there, all the people up there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got profiles of everybody. Some folks who work on it didn't want their profile on the website, but that's fine. They just don't want to be harassed. But, you know, I've probably got 8 or 10 people up there. I'm number one. you know, you can reach me anytime. My phone number, my email address, everything is on there. There's no way that she can claim that she couldn't get a hold of me. That's just not, can't be true. It's just not true.
Well, just for edification, she slandered you. Because slander is when verbal. Libel is written.
I'm not a lawyer. I just
want to
know.
So you filed a
lawsuit. When they sue me in my capacity as a radio host, they're suing me for slander. So
okay, all right. Well, whatever it is, it doesn't feel good.
You know what I think it does show, Sue, though? It's because I've been at many meetings, and Gabe Evans took it before when he was a legislator going, you know, running for Congress the first time. People said, well, what about your Liberty Scorecard rating? I think you guys have a really good reputation and a really, now people may not agree with your principles, right? Or they may not weigh them the same as you do, but you make it clear how you do it. I think that this shows you're getting under her skin. She's probably getting questions and things about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't, again, it's not personal. The numbers are there, the methodology, everything is on the website. We're as transparent as we can possibly be. And if you have any questions or if you're looking for something or if something looks funny, all you have to do is hit the contact button. I get those emails. I open those emails. The one other point, she said, well, we have to pass a budget. We have to use the safety clause. We have these things that we have to do. We don't rate the budget bills. Those all go to appropriations. We've never rated them. Those are not included in the scorecard. So, yeah, and there were 62 orbital bills. We don't do those. We leave those out because we understand, we recognize that they have to pass that budget. And we don't feel like we can pick it apart and say, well, you know, you shouldn't cut here. You should cut it. You know, we're not qualified to do that. And we admit that. So we just omit, we leave those out. So that does not factor into her score.
And where you guys are so valuable is legislators like Barb Kirkmeyer, or on the other hand, like Randy Bradley can say, and Scott Bottoms can say one thing to their constituents. And then, but the question is how do they vote when they get into the legislature? And the Liberty Scorecard is one pretty straightforward, transparent way to see, are they saying one thing and doing another?
Well, quite frankly, it's the only one you can really rely on.
Yeah, we rate all the bills. Any bill that we can put a principal on, we will rate. So of the 700 last year, we did 463 or something. This year, it'll be closer to 400. There are fewer bills. But we do that because we want it to be a broad end. We're collecting data points, really. So the more data points we can collect, you know, we think the better the scorecard is. So we do all their third reading votes, you know, their final votes in the chamber, as well as their final committee votes. So we also say it's not apples to apples because they sit on different committees. But if we can collect enough data points on every legislator, we think we can paint a pretty good picture of whether or not they understand and can apply these principles when they vote.
Well, and what's cool about the Liberty Scorecard too is all of this is on the website.
You're going back to a second to Gabe Evans. So I asked him, I said, you know, why'd you get such a lousy, you know, 64 rating on the Liberty Scorecard? He said, I don't pay any attention to it. I don't know what my Liberty Scorecard score is, but I got a 67. And you kind of go,
Well, and, you know, I'll also say all it is a resource. You know, right. if you don't agree with the way we're doing it, you know, find another scorecard, find something else that you can use that you can refer to. But, you know, but don't tell me that we're not transparent about what we're looking for and how we're doing it.
Because pretend like you've never heard of you. It's like, I don't even know these people.
Second part, what I liked is when Jeff come on and you said, this is Sue Moore of Liberty Score. Hi, Sue. You go, wait a minute. I thought you had no idea. Oh, she was. I mean, the two of them were a great combo of misinformation and maldirection.
I can't answer for that, but I've never met Bill, never talked to Bill, so he can pretend like he doesn't know me, and that's fine.
One thing, too, that I want to point out, again, for people like Barb Kirkmeyer, when they get all riled up about this, you guys also, all of the bills and the ratings are on there. So say you're like, well, let me just see if I agree with them or not. You know, let's go read the bill and see how my legislator voted. So you can actually break that down and you could say, well, you know, I kind of agree with it. So it's not, if she's getting an F, she has two choices. She can just continue voting with Democrats. This is me saying that, not you. Or she can maybe change her vote and become a conservative Republican. I don't know. That's just
You know, her score is better this year. She's in the 60s. I mean, so, you know, credit for that. We don't award scores. We rate the legislation. When they vote on that legislation, their score is computed.
Okay. Well, let me just real quick jump into it. And I know you may not be prepared for this. So I don't mean to put you on the spot. But this session, how is this session going so far?
You know, it's slow. When they don't have any money, they can't start new programs. So, but what they do start doing is micromanaging our lives as best they can. So there are fewer bills. We might have 400 this year. I don't know. We're like around 380, and that's kind of low. We're usually up in the 450s, 470s. So it's just they're slow. But that's kind of a good thing.
That is kind of a good thing. All right. Well, so anything else you want to say or point out before we let you go, setting the record straight?
No, I think we've covered it all. But, you know, it just makes me angry. It made me really angry to have somebody attack us and to deliberately misrepresent who we are, what we do, and why we do it. Nobody makes any money at this. These people, these volunteers are putting in time, you know, doing Sunday afternoon Zoom calls when they should be spending time with their families. So this is a very dedicated, very just a wonderful group of people to work with. And, you know, don't mess with
my
people.
And you do an incredible service. And Barb Kirkmeyer, if you're a little more intelligent, she sort of said, well, I don't agree with that scorecard, and I got this scorecard and I got that scorecard. Instead, she just goes through a litany of just world class, you know, slander. And it was amazing that one. This is the only question I've ever heard, and all because all talk radio is rhino anyway, most of it. And I've never heard a tough question ever asked her. And I'm not sure that Jeff meant to, but why'd you get an F? And she just totally loses it. I mean, totally loses it. So who knows if somebody else asks another hard question, what would happen. But you guys do such a valuable service. You're the only one we pay anybody who's a conservative pays any attention to. And it's the only one when somebody says, when the Barb Kirkmeyer says, I'm a, you know, rock-ribbed conservative, you can go, that's not your voting record, per se. And others have higher ones. So you guys do, as I've said so many times. It's such a valuable
thank
service.
You. And for the record, it's libertyscorecardco.us. And I see that Justin Everett is on this call. Justin was the winner of our Barry Goldwater Award. I don't know how many years ago. We don't give that award anymore. But Justin was, talk about a rock star.
He's going to talk. He's the Trump appointee handling the Small Business Administration for 6 states. So we're going to talk to him, too. So, yay, okay. Justin. All right, Sue, thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks, Sue.
Thank you. Thanks.
Take care.
Well, and right. Chuck, and you bring up a good point. We were saying that, too. It's so you can tell that this gets to Barb Kirkmeyer, right?
You
can
think?
Tell that people at meetings go ahead and raise their hand and say, how can we have an F kind of thing? Because, as you said, the intelligent answer would have been, you know, I don't really, there are a lot of scorecards out there. You know, I just go in and I do my best and vote my blah, 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 right? But instead on things that are demonstrably untrue, it's kind of like, but I think the people don't like it, right? When you talk to legislators, it is, there are a lot of them who do pay attention and they don't like it when they get an F, because then the people can tell the difference between what they're saying and how they're voting. So, so I want to apologize. Yeah, Chuck, just so you know, if you can maybe talk loud, your audio is really pretty low, and Doug is having a hard time bringing it up.
How do I adjust my audio?
I don't know. Just hold your phone closer. You can't really adjust your
phone. It's on my ear, so it's.
Okay.
Doug says, put it in my brain.
It's good. Hey, and Johnny, I see you have your hand up. Did you have a question, or were you trying to talk about the sound? If you have a question or comment, you can go ahead and do that. No? Okay. Otherwise, well, Justin, I think he was scheduled to come on at 3:30, but he's here. So, Justin, I don't know. I mean, if you're at your computer, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself and turn your camera on, you can. So, first, welcome to the show. appreciate your time as always. And congratulations on the Liberty Scorecard Award a few years ago.
Won't let me turn my camera on. I don't know what's going on with Zoom, so I apologize.
No worries.
I'm all dressed up just for your show, I swear.
You know, Chuck could not get his camera on either, so maybe it is Zoom.
Yeah, it says failure to start video camera. The host has asked you to start video camera. Hit start. So I don't know what's – I had a Zoom call a mere hour and a half ago, and it was fine. So I have no idea what's going on.
But
here's the funny part, and funny haha for those of you that know me, I'm rarely early for anything, and I think I scheduled it for half an hour early to come on your show, and so I'm like, I think I'm late for getting on Chuck and Julie, and I haven't seen those guys in forever. Now you can't even see me, I appreciate the shout out, but obviously I'm serving in a different role. And so I already know Chuck's probably has five gotcha questions for me to lure me into talking about something I should not be talking about. So we're going to avoid that.
Well, I'll have to say the last time I talked to Justin, and we love Justin. He's just a great heart, you know, great conservative. And I'm sure he's doing a great job there. But I was one of the delegates to the convention along with Julie, and as we had a meeting with Justin, who's helping the Trump group make sure the delegates were a positive and not a negative, and he said, I don't want any of you talking to the press. It just doesn't help. We get different messages. And I kind of volunteered, yeah, but I am the press. I own a newspaper. So can I talk to myself? And Justin glared at me.
it's never any trouble with Chuck, right, Julie?
Yeah, God. Don't get me started. I'd rather have to say that the views of one host not necessarily reflect the views. Well, let me jump into that. So you're with a Trump appointment, the Small Business Association administration for six states. Let me ask this, and you can kind of talk about it. I know you had some specific things, but I wanted to ask you, been in the headlines lately, Colorado lost 11,700 jobs last year under Governor Polis, Denver Mayor Johnson, horrible blue state blues. The Chamber of Commerce, 200 business leaders in Colorado sent like begging letter to the governor and the mayor saying, please stop destroying the business community here. I mean, what do you see from where you're sitting these days?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do run the Small Business Administration for six states, including Colorado. And definitely you see a difference between us and Montana and the Dakotas and Wyoming, obviously, and Utah. So, and as a former state legislator that saw this precipice coming, I think we were rated number one in the country pretty much in all metrics when I was in the legislature 2013 to 2019. And to see it fall off a cliff and a lot of that state regs. And the thing about the Small Business Administration that they don't realize, even though we're a federal agency, is we do have a state, we'll call it legislative arm. Okay. That looks at what states are doing, because any changes we make, whether it's tax policy, which we're going to talk about, or anything else the SBA is doing, you know, it can fall flat on its face if you have state regulations that are overly burdensome. So we're looking at that. And, on the federal level, we're able to do everything in our power to roll back the federal regulations. We have our Office of Advocacy that the Biden administration didn't utilize. Their job is to work with the other federal agencies to push back against any regulation on small business or identify bad regulations and roll those back. We've literally been doing we've had a grassroots approach for the last year, going around talking to businesses, not stacking the deck, talking to real businesses out there and saying, you know, what are some things that you guys want to roll back? And we've got some traction on diesel emissions that are going to affect everyday taxpayers' lives and a ton of other regs that we're able to do. But obviously, even at the state level in Colorado, it's our own challenge. It's our home. I live here just like you guys, although it looks warm wherever Julie is. So maybe she's somewhere else right now. But this is home, and we want to see Colorado thrive. And, you know, you guys have been hugely active in the business community for longer than we're going to mention on this call.
Yeah, thank you.
But, you know, it's unfortunate. And so for me, you know, I think Colorado's on the radar is some changes. And even, you know, Governor Polis had the press conference with the with, I can't remember the gentleman that is an entrepreneur talking about, hey, we need to do something, and calling out his own party. So we should give him props for that. But it's definitely challenging, especially when you're seeing in my region, all the other states thriving because they have regulatory policies and tax policies that are conducive to growth instead of what we're seeing in Colorado, unfortunately, right now.
What about you mentioning taxes? So today is tax day. You said there was some tax stuff you wanted to talk about. So just open-ended question. Go ahead.
giving an ex-politician an open forum to talk about whatever they want. How much time do we have?
Far away.
Really? You know, I mean, what's, you might want to like put a timer up on the screen
briefly,
or something like
briefly,
that.
Briefly.
No, and so, you know, the working family tax cuts that were passed last year without any help from the other side, you know, it's getting lost in translation. So we're doing a media blitz definitely to get the word out. You know, and some of the just traveling around, you know, hearing these impacts on real businesses, you know, the ones that the press doesn't seem to want to talk to, you know, it's things like no tax and overtime. And that's been huge to employees and employers, you know, have a direct effect in their everyday lives and lowering the cost of living and having more money in their pockets. For businesses, a big one that we've seen is the 100% depreciation on new equipment. And that's had a huge impact. And it's been fun visiting a ton of businesses where they've actually made up stickers, 100% depreciated. You know, we wouldn't have bought this equipment if it wasn't for the Trump tax cuts, for the working family tax cuts. So things like that, the employer tax credits, making the small business tax credit permanent, and even, you know, things that, you know, are, you know, like a workforce development, you know, childcare tax credit got raised to $2,200. And I mean, that can be the difference between you retaining good employees and having to, you know, go back in the job market, which is pretty tight in some of the states, and finding new employees. So a lot of things aren't being talked about, and it is tax day. So if you're a sole proprietor and you're doing your own taxes and you're struggling and you're thinking, you know, what do I need to do? You know, these are some of the deductions and some of the things you need to be looking at. And I mean, statistically, you know, the statistics we found is it's about 125,000 firms that have been positively affected by this in the state of Colorado alone. So in contrast to the state regs, and that's about 44% of all firms, because, you know, small businesses are the backbone of the U.S. economy and Colorado economy. So we're seeing a positive effect on that. But you would not know that by you know, doing a Google search or tuning it in the news shows. So
that's an excellent point. I mean, I was just going to mention that you know, the you know, corporate media just constantly hammers saying, oh, the economy sucks. You know, we're going to lose midterms because the economy is so bad. You know, and gas prices, oh, you know, I mean, never mind what egg prices. I've noticed this the other day. I bought eggs. It was $1.79. I mean, before Trump came in, it was like $5. I mean, it was insane. And that's not just because somebody said, oh, that's low, the price of eggs. All of the things that the Trump administration has done that affect what goes into setting the price of eggs have been positively affected. And you're right. But if you really listen to the corporate media, it's like, oh, we're all about to, you know, have to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah, I mean, businesses are thriving out there. They're benefiting from this. And you know, we've actually had a huge focus on Made in America, what we're calling MIA, you know, and we've done roundtables on this. And we're hearing from businesses that are thriving. And, you know, with the expensing, you know, the SBA also backs loans. And so a big focus on manufacturing sector, you know, where they can expand. And then plus the 100% expensing. I mean, it's a huge boon to small businesses. And these are positive things that are happening.
In addition to those, I mean, because it affects businesses we own or others own and so forth, you know, no tax on tips, overtime and all that. I mean, that has a real positive effect on employees, on companies we own. But what I'm thrilled about is that, you know, as a practical matter, well, often when you join government, they gave you the same admonition you gave to us as Trump delegates. Just shut up. Don't say anything. So I'm glad they've allowed you, at least given you a leash to go out and preach the good word, because as you said, the local media and the national media are never going to do it. So you gotta trump your own horn, using an analogy, but it's great that you're out there letting people know what the good things are.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on the show as well. I mean, it's been quite a while, and you guys were always friendly to me back in the day, and I kind of dropped off. Obviously, we had a little overlap, and hopefully you guys enjoyed the national convention. I thought it was a pretty darn good program, and but I have a personal bias there, and you guys were always friendly to me, and it's funny because many people have told me I have a face for talk radio. And that's not why I don't have my camera on. It's legitimately not working. I don't know what's going on here.
Let's face it, people.
But
Trevor,
it's
listen. Me today, and I came from the golf course with my son, so I'm like, I'm dressed for golf wear. Well,
so but now you guys have the live streaming, so it's like it's like I actually am wearing a collared shirt and a blazer right now. My camera's not on. I look probably pretty close to the picture that's probably up on the screen, but I think that picture was taken about 12 years ago, so maybe a little more gray hair.
those
But
all, all the good pictures were taken, 15,
12
12,
years ago.
15, 20 years ago.
Exactly. And so, but that's the thing, is they are turning us loose. And, obviously, I think, what's great about this administration that also, and I'm just going to go off message, is they're not just giving out jobs to political people. You really need to do the job and be qualified for the job. So people that represent the other regions throughout the region, and also our administrator, be remiss not to talk about our administrator, Kelly Loeffler. She's a CEO, and when everybody asks me was she successful, her company bought the New York Stock Exchange in 2004. What do you guys think? And that's just the culture change that we've seen. I mean, you were expected to do things, and not just us, but the career service employees, the longtime employees. Like, we need to have outputs that are positive for small businesses. And if you're not pulling your weight and doing your job, there's really not a place for you in the new culture. And so I think that is permeating throughout the federal government. These are things that no one's talking about. I think a glaring example, we have our onshoring portal that we have up on the SBA.gov website. They got that system up within 3 months of the beginning of the Trump administration, and it works fantastically. It's a great way to match companies that are looking for other American manufacturers that can build something or make something they need instead of getting it from overseas. And we have 500,000 businesses that have signed up for that. Have you guys heard of that? Probably not, because it's
No,
not
that
being
sounds like
carried to the.
a great idea.
But 3 months, I mean, 3 months for the federal government to not only get something up, a system up, but also it working and working properly and working well. And that's just, again, it's a perfect example of the change in culture that we're seeing, throughout the federal government. And that's just leadership from President Trump, and definitely the SBA leadership from Kelly Loeffler. And it's I've been my own boss for a long time, and I don't have a problem working for either President Trump or Kelly anytime. They're just fantastic people, and I'm really excited.
Well,
Anything coming to
I'm not sure if you've ever heard Tom Tancredo, our former very conservative congressman, a great hero, talk about his days with heading up the SBA, and talking to people, and that he'd kind of go, "What do you do?" "I'm a librarian." He'd go, "Oh, great. Well, where's the library?" And she took him to a rack with some magazines on it, and that was the SBA library. And he had a lot of other horror stories about his time under the Reagan administration, anyway, and how they got we were told we want to be efficient, we want to do this, we want to do that, and they really didn't. The Reagan administration didn't follow through. The SBA was incredibly inefficient, overblown, and it's good to hear that under Trump's leadership, at least there's an effort not only to walk the talk the talk, but do some walking of the walk.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a significant reduction in personnel, but our metrics are up. Funny how that works
Yeah.
out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're right. President Trump does talk the talk and walk the walk with a very large stick. And it's I mean, you guys, if you guys would have asked me whether it was 10 years ago being on your show, or even during the Trump campaign in 2024, if I'd ever be working for the federal government, I'd be like, just because it's legal in Colorado, you shouldn't smoke it. But here I am. And it's part of continuing the mission, and obviously with my business background, 40 years business experience in the consulting side and growing businesses and things. And then obviously the political side, I felt that I can contribute to this administration, and really excited to be a part of it. But that's the great thing. I look around the room, on the rare occasion we get to go to DC, and everybody's like me. And no one's just that oh, I'm going to sit in this job and collect a federal paycheck for 4 years during the administration because I'm a Republican and I know some people. That is not the culture that we have.
I think that, you know, the government, and not just the federal government, but the state government, of course, they won't ever do it. But I think they owe businesses after COVID, right? Businesses were shut down. I mean, lives were destroyed. And, you know, we've seen with the government out of control how much damage it can do. So, I mean, that's always been one of the reasons I've voted for Donald Trump, is I think he's a business guy who gets business at its most basic, and he actually cares about it, right? And I think that it's good to see some of the stuff that you're talking about, because like I said, I think the government owes business and business owners.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's like a lot of people didn't know what supply chain meant until COVID. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're so used to going to the grocery store or being able to just quickly buy something, you know, even simple as like toilet paper, and it's not available. And so suddenly everybody understands what supply chain is, and a lot of things that we're getting overseas, you know, President Trump saw that, and that's why, you know, we have the onshoring portal, and we're trying to onshore as many businesses. And there's a lot of success there. It's great being out in the field and talking to businesses that I was getting something from another country. Let's say, who do we want to pick on today? Chuck, let's do China. And so I'm sure Chuck will love that one. So, but, you know, and it takes 9 months. If there's a problem, then, you know, okay, this might set us back in a few more months, maybe another 9 months. And what are we going to do about this? Oh, wait, there's a machine shop that can make that part and has the production level down the street. And actually, with the opportunity cost and everything, it costs me nothing. You know, it's a wash. And we're hearing so many stories like that. And if they didn't go on the onshoring portal, and, you know, they would have found a machine shop 2 miles down the road. And if there was a problem with something on the order, they can drive, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes and get it fixed and know it's done right. And the pride also, guys, of just like I'm only 54 years old, but, you know, I grew up, you know, we take a lot of pride in making things in the United States. And that's what we're all about. And I think the pride's still there. But I think we kind of shifted to a different type of economy where we weren't making things here. And a lot of us do the regulatory factors, which we're working on. And so the onshoring and making America, you know, great again and all that stuff is, as Chuck said, talking the talk and walking the walk.
Right. And I was going to say, anything else you want to add before we let you go? I know if it's too big, you can email us your picture of you in your suit later if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I warned you guys. You gave me the open forum. I don't know how much time I took because I didn't even see a minute counter on this. But we were supposed to start at 3:30, so we're 3:38, so start a little early. And I have no idea how you guys want. You know, this time, you know, I remember Chuck was trying to convince me to run for X, Y, and Z seats and things like that last time I was on our show. How much of that is going to happen? How much trouble is Chuck going to get me into, and whether I'm going to take the bait? But Chuck, you've been great today, not causing too much trouble. But yeah, I don't have much to, but look, on tax day, you know, I want, if for your listeners and people that are tuning in, looking at that young picture of me, I think I might not have the picture up. Let's keep that one. But yeah, I mean, the tax cuts, the working family tax cuts have made a huge impact. And don't listen to the noise. Look at your bottom line. You know, look into, you know, how much costs have gone down. You said, Julie, eggs. You know, I remember paying $8.50 for eggs for a carton of 18, if I could find them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think like you at King Supers, I paid $1.69 for, or $2.69 for an 18 pack of eggs, extra large eggs. So, yes, I buy my own groceries. And and so, yeah, I mean, all those costs that are going down, and President Trump cares. And I don't think that comes across to anyone. And he listens. I mean, that's, if you meet him, he actually will listen to you and ask you questions. It's not like he's, I'm president of the United States and I'm going to have one of my advisors. He'll listen to you, and he wants to hear from people. And you know, the campaign trail, and even when you guys were in Milwaukee at the National Convention, how many stories did you hear about someone having an encounter with President Trump? And,
oh, yeah.
And they think they're buddies, you know, because they had a real conversation with
right.
a guy who's done very well for himself, and, you know, and president, obviously, twice. And so, you know, you just hear these stories and they're great. And Those are the real stories out there, not the stuff that you're seeing and what you're calling the corporate media, Julie. So again, thank you so much for the opportunity today to come on your show, and hopefully I provide some content, some value for you, and we get some clicks. But you know, miss you guys, and it's been too long, and you know, hopefully I did an okay job. You'll allow me on your show again.
They will.
Well, you anytime. You're welcome back anytime.
Anytime, Dustin. Anytime. Keep up the good work, and thank you for your time today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Justin Everett, they're running the Small Business Administration. Yeah, like Chuck, we've talked many times before. I think, you know, people a lot of times say, well, you know, Trump is this and Trump is that and Trump does this or Trump does that. There are plenty of things that you can bring up. But I think bottom line, Trump gets the economic issues, right? And he understands how, you know, to, you know, make America great again. But I mean, how that you look at some of the economic things he's doing, and even look at what's unfolding in Iran, right? And the kind of the multiple chess levels that are going on there, you know, and you know, the oil prices go up, but I think in the long run they're going to come down again, as they did right after we took over.
Yeah, no, everything in politics is a comparison, and just ask how you think you'd do under Biden. Or Obama, or you know, Gavin Newsom, if he's the newest bright star of the Democratic Party. There are lots of things to be mad at Trump, and I'm you know, I've got my share of ones I don't like. But God, compare it to the alternative.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and then the alternative is what we see happening here in Colorado, right? I mean, that's the alternative.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the Democrat agenda. I mean, seriously, Colorado lost. It's the first time since the pandemic. And before that, it was like 2010 or something.
91.
That they actually lost. Right. Yeah, exactly. That they lost, I mean, 11,700 jobs last year. Right. And then you have idiot Democrats celebrating the fact that Palantir is leaving and all these companies are leaving all because. You know, it's just ridiculous.
We got rid of Palantir. We got rid of all the oil and gas companies. We've gotten rid of all the high tech ones in Boulder. At least Trump has. And so, you know, we're gonna have just a great time. And you know, I've on the prediction markets. I've shorted the Colorado economy because it's gonna tank. It is just gonna tank.
Well, and there's no hope, because that's the kind of thing, like I said, if you want to see what life would look like without Trump, just come to Colorado.
It's
not going to turn around anytime soon, right? Because the state has this reputation. They're not changing their laws. In fact, they're doubling down on some of the regulations and things, making it difficult to do business. They protest. If for whatever, if you may have nothing to do with ICE, and yet you'll have a bunch of lunatic Democrats protesting outside your business because who knows why. They think you have something to do with ICE. And so if you're a company, why would you even look here? Right. So these companies, it's not like they're putting their company on hold when they look around and say, well, where do I want to go, or where do I want to build, or where do I want to invest? No, they're going ahead, and Colorado's out of the loop. And, you know, I mean, that's not the kind of thing that you turn around in a short period of time.
They're not turning anything around. And moreover, they're working hard every day to figure out how they can get rid of Tabor. And once Tabor is gone, Katie bar the door. There'll be millionaire taxes. There'll be this kind of tax. There'll be that kind of tax. You know, the key they have is like they're sort of like Kim Jong Un. Does Kim Jong Un care that the North Korean economy is a basket economy that's done, you know, terrible compared to South Korea? No. All he cares about is that he's in charge of whatever it is. He's the top dog. And that's how the Democrats feel. We don't care that Colorado economy is tanking. We could care less. You know, I mean, a lot of us are government workers, and, you know, we're wonderful government workers. And if the Colorado economy tanks, we'll still be here. And that's, you know, that's the view. And I don't know what Polis is going to do once he leaves office, but, you know, it'll be fun.
Well, yeah. one that was pushing what we have to have. We can't eliminate all carbon emissions by 2030, which is like the year after Rev graduates from high school. I mean, some of their so Polis, you know, he'll get out there and he'll say, people say, oh, he's a businessman, so he understands. It's like, no.
He's
as much a part of the destruction as anyone else. And some of the ridiculous policies that they have. So, okay, well, hey, Ed, was there anything else you wanted to talk? I can't see.
I wanted to alert everybody to a fun feature. Because we love fun features. I love radio wars. As Sue Moore kind of pointed out, hey, you know, Chuck always liked a good fight or whatever and so forth. So I always appreciate a good fight. So right now, we've got a great radio war going on between K-How, Ryan Schilling, versus Jeff Hunt. And it's Ryan Schilling is calling Jeff Hunt a prostitute for Victor Marx, and he's in the tank for Victor Marx. And Jeff Hunt, who doesn't like to directly confront people, is kind of going back. But you can listen to the shows and know that everybody's listening how Jeff, and I think he's going to have Victor Marx on tomorrow. So that'll be fun to listen. You know, is he going to worry about?
Chuck, you're violating principle number one. Don't send people to the competition.
No. They're all in the morning. These are morning people. Yeah. They're morning people. Right. We got plenty of time to get a hold of us at 3:00.
Well, I think what it shows is
good fight.
It shows some of the. I mean, the Victor Marx factor is an interesting factor in the whole race. I think I know he's getting slammed again for not going on for not doing debates. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who he tends to go only. I mean, you know, the interview that Jeff and Bill did with him. No offense, Jeff and Bill, but that was pathetic, right? I mean, to me, if you were to say I'm a tanker, he might be like, yes, do you know what I mean? So.
it's fascinating to watch the three, you know, Republican candidates, and if we have the usual open primary, all the Democrat Republicans will vote for, or Democrat leading independents will vote for Barb Kirchmeier because she's got an F on principles of liberty, and so they go, oh yeah. That's great. That's a great story.
He sides with us.
Yeah, that's just Jim Dandy. And you know, there's accusing the candidates have been bought. You know, radio hosts have been bought off. And I'm always going, God damn it! What can't somebody buy us off? It doesn't take that much. I mean, we're willing to be bought off. If somebody would just come up with some money, please. But no, I mean, you know.
All right. Well, on that sad note, no. Hey, that will wrap it up for us today. Thank you to Sue Moore and Justin Everett and everybody on Zoom, the great guys at BBS. And we will see everybody again on Monday.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.